Well, I suppose you'd earn that one. That was This is Halloween from, of course, Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. And this is, in fact, Great Songs But Nothing Good on WMFO in Medford. I'm Greg Zapata. Thank you for tuning in, and happy Devil's Night. Devil's Night is, as it's known in the Detroit area, is the night before Halloween, typically given to acts of pranks, vandalism, mischief, what have you. Apparently, they've tried to counteract that in recent years with the Angels Night initiative, and you know, not have the youth commit such foolishness. But you know what? If the potential for harmless giggles is high, then you know, do you? I suppose. So we're gonna have a show full of Halloween and spooky adjacent songs, and then next week it'll be returned to a normal service, and we're gonna get things started with a classic, one that I thoroughly enjoy, by Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Did you know he was in a Jim Jarmusch movie? Mystery Train. Check it out.
put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up?
broke the chandelier.
That's The Who with Boris the Spider from quick one with bassist John Entwistle on vocals. Before that was Evil Streaks with Pumpkin Carving Party. Got to see them open for Rocky Erickson before he passed some years ago with my good friend Shayna. We also had Squirrel Nut Zippers with Hell, of course, from the Hot album, and they're on tour now. I think they're coming to Beverly soon. And Screamin' Jay Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You, a song covered by many, including Creedence Clearwater Revival and Annie Lennox. And Now You Know. Up next, we have a song by Jason Molina, the late Jason Molina, under the moniker of Songs Ohio.
While you was gone, you must have done a lot of favor. You got a whole lot of things I don't think that you could ever have paid for. While you've been busy crying about my past mistakes, I've been busy trying to make a change. And now I made the change.
Run, 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 run away.
Susie and the Banshees from the album Juju, and the song was, of course, Halloween, if you couldn't guess. And before that, we had Talking Heads with Psycho Killer from their first album, Talking Heads 77. And we started it all with Jason Molina's Songs Ohio project with I've been riding with the Ghost from the Magnolia Electric Company, the late, great Jason Molina. And that brings us to the bottom of the hour here on Great Songs About Nothing Good. And we have a long one coming up, which is why we're going to go first into the legally mandated PSA. It's a don't drink and drive PSA. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind a wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. A public service message from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio. So up next, what's this long one? Well, it is the Halloween season. The time for the spookiness and the whatnot. So I'm going to throw a nice long one at you. We're all fans of Edgar Allan Poe around this time of year, as well as, you know, all the other days of the year. So here's the poem most associated with the season, read by Sir Christopher Lee, secret agent during World War II, Count Dooku, and many, many other movies. Oh, and he was also Sauron, and he was in all those great 1960s Hammer Dracula movies, and so he knows what he's talking about. And before he died several years ago, he released a metal album. The man really could do it all, and we're going to listen to him do it with this number by Edgar Allan Poe of Boston, Massachusetts.
The Raven. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "'Only this and nothing more. "'Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, "'and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. "'Eagerly I wished the morrow. "'Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow. "'Sorrow for the lost Lenore.' For the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, "'some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. "'This it is, and nothing more. "'Presently my soul grew stronger. "'Hesitating then, no longer, "'Sir,' said I, "'or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. "'But the fact is I was napping, "'and so gently you came rapping, "'and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, "'that I scarce was sure I heard you. "'Here I opened wide the door. "'Darkness there, and nothing more. "'Deep into that darkness peering, "'long I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortals ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token. And the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, something louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind. And nothing more. open here, I flung the shutter. When, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door. Perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast, upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door with such name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on that placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul, in that one word, he did outpour. Nothing farther then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, of never, nevermore." But the raven, still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking "Nevermore." This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl, whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining with my head at ease, reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. "Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee respite and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, O quaff, this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there
Is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul, from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor, shall be lifted nevermore.
And that's Christopher Lee reading Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. I hope you all enjoyed that little throwback to high school English. Tune in next year when we play an audio rendition of The Cask of Amontillado, because you think I won't, but I absolutely will. Also, Amontillado? This close to the festival? Anyway, we'll discuss that next year. But, you know, Lucchese does not know Amontillado from Sherry. And we're going to go into the home stretch here with two numbers from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, one of which I got to see Your Friends in Hell cover last night at the Midway Cafe in Jamaica Plain. And if you were at that show, well, you saw something special. And if you weren't, well, there's always next time. But you will be deducted points on the final exam. Anyway, here's two from The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey. It seemed a fairly ordinary night when Brad Majors and his fiancée, Janet Weiss, two young, ordinary, healthy kids, left Denton that late November evening to visit a Dr. Everett Scott, ex-tutor and now friend to both of them. It's true, there were dark storm clouds, heavy, black, and pendulous, toward which they were driving. It's true also that the spare tire they were carrying was badly in need of some air, but they being normal kids and on a night out, well, they were not going to let a storm spoil the events of their evening. On a night out. It was a night out they were going to remember for a very long time. Thank you.
Astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hip.
You bring your knees in tight. There is the velvet dust. It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream. Free me so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation.
Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Well, I was walking down the street just to have a thing. When a snake of a guy gave me an evil wing. He shook on me and he took me by surprise. He had a pickup track and the devil's eyes. He stared at me and all fell of change.
To the left.
And then you step to the right.
Put your hands on your hips.
Thank you. I might just split a seam now if I don't die laughing first. Mr. Oogie Boogie says there's trouble close at hand. You better pay attention now, 'cause I'm the boogeyman. And if you aren't shaking, there's something very wrong, 'cause this may be the last time you hear the boogie song. And I've nothing much to do, I might just cook a special batch of snake and spider stew. And don't you know the one thing that would make it work so nice? A roly-poly Santa Claus to add a little spice.
Whoa.
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 Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm the Oogie Boogie Man.
Release me now, or you must face the dire consequences. The children are expecting me, so please come to your senses.
Ah, you're joking! You're joking! I can't believe my ears! Would someone shot this fella? I'm drowning in my tears. It's funny, I'm laughing. You really are too much. And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can. Whoa! Sound of the dice to me is music in the air, 'cause I'm a gambling boogeyman. Although I don't play fair, it's much more fun, I must confess, when lives on the line. Not mine, of course, but yours, oh boy. Now let it be just fine.
Release me fast, or you will have to answer for this haters act.
Oh, brother, you're something. You put me in a spin. You aren't comprehending the position that you're in. It's hopeless, you're finished. You haven't got a prayer, 'cause I'm Mr. Oogie Boogie, and you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. saw werewolves try to buy a used car in Del Mar. It was a bloody red Coupe d'Avelle. He said he wasn't driving into Mexico, going down to Tijuana, gonna kill somebody in a film or something. I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the Werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, and they were doing the Werewolves of London. I saw Jackson Brown walking slow down the avenue. You know it's hardest, perfect. And I saw werewolves drinking a Perrier and Trader Vic's.
Started off with two from the Rocky Horror Picture Show over at the Frankenstein Place and Time Warp, and then we had the Oogie Boogie song from the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack, first CD I ever bought with my own money. And we also had, after that, live version of Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon from the Stand in the Fire live album, recorded in 1982, I believe. And the Ringer just had a lovely retrospective of the 20th anniversary of Warren Zevon's last public appearance on the David Letterman show. And David Letterman gave him the whole hour, and he did three songs, reflected on life and death, because he was he had been diagnosed with mesothelioma at the time, and was working on a final album. And it truly is a wonderful interview to watch. And we close it out with the Pogues, Worms, the closing track from their breakthrough album, If I Should Fall from Grace with God. And that was drummer Andrew Rankin on vocals. And thank you again for tuning in to Great Songs But Nothing Good on WMFO in Medford. I'm Greg Zapata. Tune in next week for more of the same except slightly different. And I'm going to leave you now on this Devil's Night with a song that is fitting. At least that's how I feel. Your results may vary. It's a number by Van Halen. Stay tuned to WMFO for more of the good sounds that you so desperately need.
Due to COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.